You are listening to TLRStation.com.
A Graceful Journey radio program is where you will hear powerful conversations, insights, and knowledge to help you when family caregiving calls. Host Lorna Scott brings a powerful combination of experience as a family caregiver and professional expertise as a coach and counselor. You will be empowered to meet demands, find balance, all while caring for yourself that help you find grace, peace, hope, and joy in your caregiver journey.
Hello and welcome to A Graceful Journey radio program powered by Tenacious Living Radio. My name is Lorna M. Scott, and I'm the author of the best-selling book, Walking the Journey Together Alone, Finding Peace, Hope, and Joy in the Middle of I'm your host, and I'm excited today to share with you some simple tips and strategies to stay connected to yourself. This is about who you really are, the things that you love, and what you want to be. So please take a moment to grab a pen and paper if you've got some time to download the activity sheet that goes along with this episode. That would be great. But, you know, no worries if you don't have the sheet in front of you. You can finish this later and listen to it again in the on-demand library. As long as you've got a pen and paper, you are good to go. So family caregivers often lose touch with who they are. They get disconnected from their own life and their own being. And what happens is that the sense of self gets whittled away and it gets buried in that whole chaotic notion of the medical appointments and organizing schedules, the planning of meals and laundry and balancing the many things that I talk about in every episode. All those aspects that you deal with, whether it's work or family or life, and wondering about, you know, how are you going to pay the bills and when are things going to get better and how are you going to get through this? It can be really overwhelming and really focused on the situation of what's drawn you into caregiving. So sometimes it just seems like every day is about who's doing what, and when and with who, and who's picking up the kids or who's going to the medical appointment. These are all things that you deal with on a day-to-day basis. And today I want to focus on you and talk about your sense of self. And what I'm referring to you is really more than one thing. We can look at it this way. We can break up the sense of self to be your self-concept and your self-esteem. So your self-concept is the idea that you have about the kind of person you are. And self-concept is really closely related to self-worth, which is a feeling that you're a good person who deserves to be treated with respect. And when you put these together, it really brings out your self-esteem, which is a feeling of having respect for yourself and your abilities. And your self-concept really encapsulates all of these pieces. So this is about staying true to who you really are and what you love and what's important to you. It's about saying, I need some time for me, about keeping connections with your own leisure activities and the other things that you enjoy doing. When a family caregiver starts to lose their sense of self, they lose touch with understanding and noticing if they're being treated well. And if they're being treated with respect, and in fact, they lose touch with knowing whether they're treating themselves well and with respect. And this can happen very early on into your caregiving journey. An example could be when you go to meet the doctor and you walk into a doctor's office with the person that you're caring for. And the doctor may take the time to look at you, shake your hand, and say hi. They usually acknowledge the caregiver, and then they go directly to the patient. And it's like you're invisible. And it is important to be patient-centered, and I know that you want the doctor to be really paying attention to what's happening with the person you're caring for. And yet you are such an important part of that team because you do see things and hear things and notice changes that the person you're caring for might not have noticed or have decided that they weren't important enough to talk to the doctor. And sometimes that's true. I just always thought it was worthwhile to let the doctor decide whether the changes I noticed were things that needed to have further investigation, or maybe there was a quick answer, and maybe it was just totally unrelated to the disease or the disability or the age-related issues. So what happens is that this can lead to losing your own confidence and how you think you are doing as a caregiver. You lose touch with who you really are and what makes you happy. Sometimes you lose touch with even what's happening in the world and how that affects them. So this might seem familiar to you. And I kind of laughed when somebody mentioned this to me, and I thought, wow, this is really true. You kind of become identified by the person that you're caring for. So you become Mr. Smith's wife or Mrs. Hood's son, Sally's mother. And little by little, you tend to morph into that identity. You almost become a nameless body and get ignored to the point that you start to ignore yourself. And I call this little nibbles. It's nibbles at your self-concept. And one of the ways that the nibbles can be protected is using a shield of armor or a robot army. That's what I called it, and I wrote about it in my book, and I'm going to talk about that in the next episode. Just what I felt overcame me to help protect me from some of these nibbles to my self-concept. Because what happens when you're at the doctor and the medical tests, or even in social situations, the focus is on the person you're caring for. And as the caregiver, you tend to not want to draw attention to yourself. But every time that you shift your time and your focus to the doctor, the medical schedule, the medications, you become really hypersensitive about a lot of the changes and tend to get that disconnection from who you are. And every time that's done, it takes that little bit out of your own self-concept, and it adds to that the nibbles that come, you know, when you stop visiting family, you start doing things you like the playing cards or going to the gym, having coffee with friends. These are all the nibbles that really attack your self-concept and warp you from who you were to being the caregiver. And this isn't an isolated or small problem. According to the Stats Canada Portrait of Caregiver report, at some point in their lives, 13 million, or 46% of Canadians aged 15 or older, have provided care to someone in their family or friend with a long-term health condition, disability, or aging needs. And 60% of these people, of these family caregivers, were working at a paid job or business. So it impacts the family caregiving with time and with with financial stability. And the nibble at that self-concept, it takes a big chunk out of you, especially when you're faced with having to reduce work hours or taking a leave from work, or there's just the added expenses that come with a chronic disease, disability, and age-related issue. And it's another stage to getting more isolated, of becoming Mr. McKay's caregiver, that invisible person. And you know, sometimes we celebrate family caregivers by calling them the invisible part to the healthcare system because of the value that they bring to it in billions of dollars of unpaid care. But that study also showed that 19% of family caregivers found providing care very stressful or somewhat stressful in the previous 12 months. And the consequences increased as the number of hours of caregiving increased. And over half of the caregivers felt worried or anxious, felt tired, and more than 35% reported feeling irritable, overwhelmed, and having disturbed sleep. So in past episodes, I've mentioned the term caregiver burnout. And that's when you are really not connected to who you really are, and you're at that higher risk for burnout. So coming up after the break, I'll go a little further in depth about how you can tell if you're experiencing or getting close to caregiver burnout, and walk you through an activity that will help you get back on track to living and loving yourself. You are listening to A Graceful Journey on Tenacious Living Radio. Stay tuned, and we'll be back after the break.
I didn't order this. Can I send it back? This is one of the powerful Caregiver Mastery signature talks that Lorna M. Scott can bring to your community group, support group, or workplace. She will inspire your audience to change how they think about family caregivers and empower them with key steps for creating a caregiving life by embracing the family caregiver role while putting work, life, family balance back into their lives. Stop the Madness is another popular talk, along with Staying Strong, How to Look After You. Contact Lorna at 403-548-8437 or lorna@lornamscott.com to book her for your next conference, workshop, seminar, or keynote presentation.
Are you ready to change your perspective? Ready to live outside the box? Then our Fearless Life Workshop is for you. Carrie Ann Barron, owner of TLRStation.com, facilitates this workshop and helps you identify the thoughts, feelings, and actions that may be keeping you from living the life you want. Based on the best-selling book, Fearless Living by Rhonda Britton, the workshop is interactive, experiential, thought-provoking, practical, and fun. Visit TenaciousLiving.org to find out more.
You're listening to Tenacious Living Radio.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to A Graceful Journey on Tenacious Living Radio. Over the past few years, and you know, while I was a caregiver and since writing my book and helping family caregivers, I've learned about some of the negative things that family caregivers experience that can lead to caregiver stress. And I've mentioned those things, or I've mentioned caregiver stress and a caregiver burnout in past episodes, but it's such an important piece that I want people to know and to be able to recognize when they might be getting into that burnout phase. Sometimes the stress gets so heavy that those signs are missed. It's like that boiling the frog that I've mentioned before. You know, sometimes that water just boils and you don't even recognize that you've got that much stress. So I'm going to go into a little more detail about what are some of the signs of caregiver burnout. And many of them overlap with caregiver stress. And what the difference is about how much it's impacting your life and your ability to cope. So if you've become immobilized and not able to move forward every day and you never feel happy or joyful, those are some of the things that at an extreme that would be caregiver burnout. And if it's happening less frequently, it might be stress and still something you want to pay attention to. So one of the first things is having much less energy than you once had. And this is one of those symptoms that can often be overlooked because we are typically sleeping less because we're doing more. And when there's stress, it just makes sense that you can be more tired and not have the energy or desires to do some of the things that you love to do. It can be hard to make it through the day. And for some, you know, even playing with their children and enjoying some time with family can seem like hard work. And one of the signs you might notice is that you think, oh, if I just have one more cup of coffee, then I'll get through the day. And really, that doesn't work. You'll find that the coffee isn't getting you through the day, and in fact, it's perhaps causing other problems because it can interfere with your sleep. Another symptom is catching every cold or flu that's going around. As I've mentioned before, the stress from family caregiving, and the stress from anything really, can have a big impact on your immune system. And it really compromises your ability to fight off the bugs that you usually fight off. And what complicates this symptom is that when you're running here and there and have a lot of other things to focus on, you tend to not eat as well and not sleep as well, which compounds that impact on your immune system. And I mean, I've heard stories, and I was one, not sick for years, and then catch one thing after another after another, or for some reason don't catch anything until a big crisis point is over, and then they get sick. So the other part is the exhaustion. This isn't just about the energy or the desire. This is about true exhaustion. So even after sleeping or taking a break or having naps, you feel absolutely exhausted. This might take some time to build up, depending on the situation, or if it's a very intense, acute, fast situation where you're really diving into that caregiving role, just full out. But that exhaustion, always feeling like you can't move or your legs are like lead, it's another symptom and something to watch out for, especially if it happens, more days in a row and you start day after day. And it doesn't seem to matter how much sleep or rest you get, you never feel refreshed. Another symptom of caregiver burnout is neglecting your own needs. And this is either because you're too busy or you've just lost the ability to care anymore. I know I tried to eat as healthy as I could, and we did, that was something that we maintained for a number of years. And the physical activity, that was something that I found more difficult to do. And that's an easy thing to fall by the wayside because it takes some coordination to do and some extra time if you're working out at the gym. But there are so many benefits to both of them and to keeping that healthy lifestyle and starting to have that healthy lifestyle if you haven't had it before. And if your life totally revolves around caregiving, but you get no satisfaction, that is one real huge symptom of caregiver burnout. And I'm not talking about those up and down days that we get, sometimes we're just frustrated and overtired and darn right angry about the situation. I'm talking about feeling like that over and over and over and over again. This is a burnout situation if you're getting no satisfaction from family caregiving. It's absolutely true that the demands can be draining, but when you're a healthy caregiver, you find satisfaction somewhere along the way. If you're having trouble relaxing when help is available, you might be too fidgety, you might feel anxious, not know what to do when there's help. And the one other symptom that to watch out for is feeling increasingly impatient and irritable. And this is where you're snapping at people and you're never happy. Sometimes you even snap at the person you're caring for. You just get so frustrated and you can't see past that. So if you're feeling like you most people can identify this when they think about it and they go, gee, I really don't know why I was so cranky. I don't know what's getting to me. That might be a sign that you're starting to experience caregiver burnout. And one of the last symptoms to watch out for is that feeling of helplessness and hopelessness. And this might be a sign to look at that the caregiver's starting to suffer from depression. And this is a totally normal response to this huge abnormal situation of family caregiving and all the demands that are placed on a family caregiver. And it's at that time you can't see any way out, or you can't see that life's ever going to be different. And this is a place that we want to be watching family caregivers to make sure that they don't become suicidal. I haven't really heard about that very often, but that typically happens when there's some acute depression, and we just want to make sure that we catch that piece. So these are the things that can pull family caregivers away from who they are. Those are the symptoms of burnout, and you notice them because you're going to be you're disconnected from who you are. So we're going to move into talking about how to be intentional with your day then. And we've talked in the past about creating some time and planning things to have some peace in your life. And what I'm going to walk you through is this activity that will also help to get your groove back. And it really is something that builds on what we've talked about. So if you haven't listened to the past episodes with the five-part series on Peace Formula and the Living Your Life 2, then please go back to that because it might answer some of the questions that you've got about how you're going to accomplish what this joy list and activity that we're doing now. So if you've got the activity guide in front of you, take a look at it. It's really a joy list. And I'll go through this for those that don't have it in front of you. So this is a two-page activity. And the first page is a list of examples about things that somebody might like to do, things that would bring them joy. So there are examples that you can pull from to create your own list. So it things like playing cards and solitaire counts if you enjoy it, maybe having one glass of a favorite wine or drink. I really encourage you to be moderate when you're looking at alcohol. Alcohol also can cause some depression, so it's good to enjoy if you have an alcoholic beverage you like to enjoy and not go overboard. Go out and sit in nature or go to a park. Go to a movie, get active, cycle, walk, swim, pretty much any sport or exercise if you enjoy it. Listening to music, watching a favorite TV show, and again, in moderation. Playing a board game, playing a game online. Looking up some positive things on the internet. One of the things that I did when I was having some kind of frustrating times in my life way before Callum was sick, I started surrounding myself with happy faces to the point that I had a coworker wonder if I worked at Walmart. And you could read a book, do scrapbooking, bake, cook, take a nap, spending time with your pet, just sitting in the sunshine. So maybe you haven't got out to the park, but you can sit outside on a deck or in your yard. Going for a drive, you know, in the summer, at least in Canada, we get the cold weather. When it's warm enough outside to have the windows down, turn up the music and let it go like crazy is so much fun for me. Meditation, relax time, playing a musical instrument, even painting or doing pottery, that kind of visual art, singing. Those are some of the things that you might put on your list. And then think of a few people that you like to connect with. Some people have smaller groups of friends, others larger groups of friends. So consider things like who would you go out after hours? What are the coworkers you would go out with? Any clubs or organizations you belong to? What about family, sister, brother, cousin, parents, children? And on that page, I'd like you to kind of put down a couple of names, and then you can add the phone numbers in later. And then friends you like to connect with. So who are your friends? Who could you call you could do this a couple of ways. You could either have a friend that you might call to go out or have a friend that you say, you know what, would you please call me every 4 or 5 days and just check in and see, you know, maybe we could go for lunch and let them do the calling because that might be a little easier on you. So then on page 2, is where you can put the things, a list of things that you like to do. So I've given you some examples. If you could put down just a couple of things for now, and you can finish this list later on after the radio show. And I'll walk you through what these symbols are on this page. So pick one. Perhaps it's listening to music. I'll use that as an example. So listening to music. I'm going to write that down in the first column under things I like to do. In the next column, there's a dollar sign, and that means that it costs money. Well, for listening to music, there could be two ways. I can listen to the music I already have, which wouldn't cost money, but I might want to purchase some new music. So I will put a check mark there because I might need some money for that. The heart is something I would do with my mate or my partner, my wife, my husband, boyfriend, girlfriend. Listening to music, usually when I do that by myself, so I'm not going to put a check mark.